Hey guys, do you like heavy metal? Do you like video games, comic books, movies, theme parks, or even cool TV shows? We've got the place for you. Metal Geeks. Time to rock out with your geek out. Here are your hosts, Kerry the Metal Geek, Dave, and George. Geek it out, fellas.
Hello, turkeys. You're listening to the greatest thing on the internet ever made. The Metal Geeks. Rock out with your penile implants out and be geeky about it. Hey, boy, you like to party? Well, come on down to Metal Geeks and slop out with your geek on your face. On the internet. Skype it. eBay.
Hey.
Your voice got really deep when you said that.
I know. I transformed from a male to a female. I don't know.
Did you? What? I didn't know that. And we've been married for how long?
Ooh, too long.
Too long. That's right. How many years is one too long? There you go.
If it's more than one hand, it's too long.
So what we're doing here tonight, we both spent the weekend at Space City Comic Con, which was here in Houston, Texas, last weekend. So what day is this? So it was the weekend of the 24th through the 26th at the NRG Center. Energy.
See what Pirate's there. Favorite center?
That's right.
NRG.
That's right. So let's talk about the con. I'm putting that in quotes.
No wrath.
So we went there on Friday. I took off a half a day of work so we can go explore and just have fun.
Yeah.
For this whole weekend, I didn't really have any kind of agenda. There was no work to be done. I did a couple of interviews anyways. And I was on a couple of different panels, and we'll talk about that. But yeah, so let's talk about our first day at Space City Comic Con. I actually liked the facility, except the color. When you walk into the main showroom area, which was big, it was a pretty big area, they had two different temperature color light colors.
This, yes.
Like it's like rows of like really soft blue light and then really harsh orange light, like really high up in the color temperature.
It just made everything like yellow. It's like everybody has jaundice. It's so yellow in here.
Yeah, it was a very jaundiced looking...
It's a jaundy jaunt.
So one of the guys that we interviewed, who've had on the show before, John Hughes from Overground Comics, showed me some of his pencils that he actually does sketches with. And he's like, okay, man, look at this color. What does it look like to you? And it seriously looked brown. He's like, look at the name of it. It was Crimson Red. So it was very difficult to get good color in that place. I'm glad I didn't try to film anything or take any pictures, because trying to white balance in that place would have been a bitch. So let's talk about our first day. Did you at least have fun at the show?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's really nice to go to a show and just have fun and not have to do work, you know, being volunteers at a con. You know, it's nice to be on the opposite side, to be just be a patron, to have fun. You know, the first day was just kind of walking around, visiting with a lot of people we knew, of course, you know, birds of a feather, all our geeky friends. A lot of our geeky friends, I should say, were there.
Ran into a lot of our friendly Houston podcasters.
That's right.
Like Rob Zip and John Miller from Dogfin, and who else did we run into? We ran into a lot of people, and we'll get into that, because we had a really cool thing at the end of this episode that we're going to be playing for you, that I'm excited for.
Yeah, but yeah, like I say, the first day was just kind of walking around, just checking out the artists, checking out the vendors.
Yeah, checking out the vendors. I found a guy that will do custom Funko Pops. I need to contact that guy still. I have his card in my wallet. Because, that's definitely, I mean, once you have enough Funko Pops, the next step is to actually have one made of yourself, right?
Is that when you're an addict?
Yeah. Well, I'm not an addict compared to a lot of people. That's for damn sure.
Sure.
No, it's true.
No, you're not. You're not.
I can actually stop if I wanted to.
Correct.
But I don't want to.
Yeah, and you know, like you said, walking by, we kind of, you know, walked by all the different celebrities' booths just to see kind of who is there.
Yeah, that's the one thing about the celebrities here at Space City Comic Con. I didn't really know a lot of them. A lot of them were Star Trek. I mean, William Shatner was there.
Everybody knows Shatner. So
everybody knows the Shat. There was the other female from Voyager, maybe, like the captain from Voyager, Janeway. I know her character name. I don't know her real name.
I don't know either of them.
So who? Manu Bennett was there.
Manu Bennett was there. Matt Ryan, Constantine. Matt Ryan, Constantine.
Ex-Constantine.
Lori Petty.
Lori Petty, that's right. I wouldn't mind a little Lori Petty.
Most people know her from Orange is the New Black, but we're a little more old school. We just remember from Tang Girl. Exactly.
Never seen Orange is the New Black. So I just know her from Tang Girl.
Yeah.
I loved that movie growing up.
And also A League of Her Own.
A League of Her Own, yeah.
Yeah, she was his sister, wasn't she?
Yeah. There's no crying in baseball.
Oh, but there is. I'm sure there is.
There are a lot of guests. And I didn't know who they were, but, you know.
Yeah, there were a lot of Star Trek people, and there are a lot of Power Rangers
people. Power Ranger guys.
But, you know, we are not the original not Power Trekkies, Rangers. So,
yeah,
we're and not. And we're of a different age than the people that watched Power Rangers.
That's true.
We're a little older than that, so we didn't know who any of them were.
There was two guests that we were excited for, but we didn't actually buy an autograph for this year. Doctor Who, or Nebula.
Wasn't the Doctor.
Nebula herself was there.
Or, what is her character name?
Amy Pond.
There you go. Or, her married name. That's a little more geekier than you know.
Amy Doctor.
Williams.
How would I know that?
No, Arthur Darvill and Karen Gillan.
Yep.
Who played Amy Pond Williams, and of course, Rory Williams.
Rory, there you go. There, we did. We actually went to their Q&A session
on Saturday.
Which was
that
on
was.
Saturday.
Yeah,
that was cool. One thing, let's talk about our entrance into the con. So, we were trying to get Kim a pass, and we were there to do some panels as well for our friends, you know, Joe Nason and Rakesh in the Zone.
Yes.
So they were going to get Kim in, and so I got up to the front desk, and I was like, so, you know, I have a media pass, and here's my phone with the QR code and everything. He's like, oh, you need to go over to that line. So we went to another line, talked to the guy, and he's like, oh, how many media passes did you need? I was like, three. Yeah, I had three.
Which, in all honesty, you did need three.
Yeah, I did.
In all honesty, you did need
that. Basically, all the guy did, they were out of media passes. They just took their VIP passes and wrote media on the back. I was like, okay. That worked. It helped out for some of the panels because we got to wait in the VIP line, which is great for media and you know, people.
And we were presenting as media, so we weren't doing anything out of the ordinary.
Right. So Friday we spent, you know, a good amount of time there and, you know, hung around and, you know, we're getting ready for the next day. So
yeah, next day was the big day.
Next day was going to be our whole full day. So what did we do after we leave? We go to a place. What was the name of that place?
Oh, we went to eat. We had a Belgian waffle, which
was
fabulous.
Belgian waffle. Before Belgian waffles, we went to Rocket Fizz.
Yes.
There was one right down the street. And, I wanted to try some of the sodas, so we got a couple of sodas that we drank that night, and they were okay. What did we get? We got like a black cherry cola.
Yeah, we got like a black cherry cream soda. That was mine. That was my safety drink.
And what was the one I got that night?
You got, oh goodness gracious, now I can't remember.
It was peanut butter and chocolate.
Okay, that's right. You got the peanut butter and chocolate.
Which was a very faint peanut butter flavor, which was good.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed. It wasn't as strong as I was hoping it would be.
And then we got a couple that we brought home. I'm a big fan of black licorice.
Ew.
So I got a black licorice soda in a bottle. It was delicious. I drank it a couple days later. And you got a s'mores one.
S'mores, yeah.
Which should have been really named maple syrup.
Yes, exactly. It was very Canadian.
Very sweet. It was not very good.
Blame Canada.
That's right. Blame Canada. Actually, that song got stuck in my head Saturday because somebody was cosplaying and it had a sign that says Blame Canada.
Oh, yes, yes.
So that song was stuck in my head for a long time. So let's talk about Saturday. Now, before we go on to Saturday, let's talk about Friday. I was on a panel in the Zone's, you know, panel room.
Yes.
It was basically about TV shows that had been canceled that were worthwhile and shows that we would want to bring back. local director Melvin was the moderator, and Joe Nason from The Zone, who we've had on the show many times, he was on the panel, as well as myself, as well as a guy named Sean Bellinger, who's
friend Sean.
He's a local photographer guy,
And, all around cool guy.
And an old radio host from Houston, if you ever listen to The Buzz, his name was Don Jansen. He was a cool guy. Very cool. Yeah. Very cool panel.
Cool, knowledgeable guy.
I wish we had recorded that one. The Saturday panel that I was involved with was why Marvel was ruling the movies.
Well, they are.
Marvel and the, you know, why Marvel rules, you know, it, what they're doing. And that was myself. And then it was Kevin, Kevin, who was the manager of the Bedrock City Comics in Sugarland, and myself. And then a guy who also does another podcast, who just came back, called Generation Nerd. His name is, I can't think of his name right now. Doug Falk. Yeah, Doug used to be on The Buzz as well, on the morning show, and that was up, just recently. He left the show, so he's very knowledgeable about Marvel. He sort of overtook the majority of talking, so I don't know if I'm going to actually release that as an episode, but I do have the audio. I don't know. We'll figure that out. Maybe as a side episode. I don't really know. But Saturday was our big fun day.
Yeah, definitely.
We did the big thing we did when we got there, we walked around. I did an interview with, of course, Overground Comics with John Hughes.
Yes.
We talked about what's going on since the last time he's been on the show. And then we also did an interview with somebody that I was really excited for. I have the book right here in my hand. James Caan at the Caan.
It's, like the actor James Caan?
No, not C-A-A-N, K-A-H-N. Okay. He's an author. I know him from back in the day, 1983. He did the novelization of Return of the Jedi. And I brought my original novelization book, hardcover book, of Return of the Jedi. And he was pretty surprised to see that.
It's pretty old. It's got that old book smell when you smell it.
Can you smell that?
That wafty old. It has that musty book smell.
I mean, this is an original book my parents got me when I was really young. So,
yes.
And then we also did an interview with another author. His name is Jonathan Mayberry, M-A-B-E-R-R-Y. I know him because he wrote some Marvel stuff, like
Zombies Return.
He did Marvel Zombies Return, one of the books in there. Like, I'm to sign my hardcover. He also did some Marvel Universe Versus type stuff, but he does a lot of zombie books, and they look like they're a lot of fun. I'm gonna actually have to pick one of those up and read.
Yeah, I wanted to, but unfortunately,
because he definitely described a lot about them, and I was like, oh, actually sounds interesting.
Yeah, especially the zombie one. So it's a different take on, like, say, what The Walking Dead's doing.
I think at this point, let's move on and play some of those interviews real quick. Let's play the interview with John Hughes, and we'll go straight into James Caan, and then we'll go straight into Jonathan Mayberry, and we'll be back after these interviews. And we are here on the show floor of Space City Comic Con in Houston, Texas, and I'm here again with John Hughes. Welcome back to the show, sir.
Thank you very much for having me.
So we had you on at Amazing Comic Con, and we talked about, of course, Overground Comics, your amazing comic company. Let's talk about what's happened since we had you on the show last.
Since last time we talked, it's actually been a lot of stuff going on kind of behind the scenes. I actually did a tour for about 3 months, so where I drove around the country up and down the West Coast, visited almost 300 stores, just kind of trying to get the word out about Overground
Comics. I followed you on social media when you were doing that. It was pretty fun.
I tell you what, man, it was challenging. That's why coverage of it kind of dropped off towards the end a little bit, because it got to the point where it was like, really, I mean, I was just like a guy in a van, just like trying to survive out there. And the longer it went on, the more it was just like I felt like, you know, like in that scene in Spaceballs where they're walking through the desert, like that's what I felt like towards the end of it. But
you didn't find shit?
Yeah, basically. But it was a great experience, and it did help get the word out a little bit. And we're actually really close now to securing a deal for distribution. So, you know, that's kind of like, you know, exciting news. Not anything concrete yet, but we're very, very close now. And a lot of it is due to all the support we got out there on the tour, and people paying attention, and people getting behind us, really.
Now, locally, you're in Houston. I know some of your work can be found in Bedrock City now.
Yeah.
And it's starting to get more out there instead of just being at shows, you know?
Right. We actually, like, I've, you know, I shot at Bedrock when I was a kid. You know, Rich, the guy who runs Bedrock, is a great guy and a big, Like, he is the guy for the comic book culture in Houston, Texas, as far as, like, I think most of us are concerned. And so I remember when I first started doing comic book shows, when I was just in Artist Alley, I was always stopping by his booth. And I'm like, hey, Rich, I'm going to have some books one day, man. I'm going to have books. And he's like, yeah, we'll carry them, man. We'll carry them. And so as soon as I got that first round of books done, I went and I was like, you said, you know. And they were generous enough. They placed the biggest order that we got from anybody else across the country. Because we are in stores. Every state that I visited, we had somebody buy the comics. So we're out there. But Bedrock is definitely our biggest client. And we're really happy and really proud that the biggest, you know, most influential comic book, you know, chain of stores, one of the biggest in the country, sells our books. We're really proud of that.
Now, can you go into any details about the distribution deal, or what can people look forward to?
We basically, the way it's going right now is there's one company that distributes comics to every shop across the country, and if you want to get to shops, you've got to go through them. We tried to kind of get in independently, and it's just too hard because these guys like to just place one order every month, get all their books together. If they tried to order separately from every independent comic book publisher out there, it would be a nightmare, and everybody would have to pay way more for their books. So we're not like angry at anybody or anything like that, but you got to get into this one distributor, and we were initially turned down by them a couple of times because that's how it goes. You just keep trying. And then somebody kind of on our side had a really good conversation with them in San Diego during the Comic-Con. Like I said, we got a lot of support drummed up after we did that tour, and we got people talking about us, and somebody made a pretty good case for us, and we heard back that it was looking good. And so now we, in the coming week or next week or two, we could get a finalized deal. And that's, you know, no, you know, absolutes are done, no contracts are signed yet, but what it's looking like is people could very well be finding our books in stores across the country as early as December.
Wow. See, take that, boys and girls. Do not take no for an answer.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's a very unique industry, but with comic books, I think that, you know, one thing that you can take from it, no matter what you're doing in life, like if somebody like me can start this company and get these books into these stores, there's nothing anybody can't do. I mean, if you're a musician making music, you will find a label that will carry you if you work hard and you get good at what you're doing. If you're an artist, you will find a gallery that will carry your work. If you're a writer, you'll find a publisher that will pick your stuff up. If you keep putting the work in and you keep, you know, like everybody talks about, there's a difference between kind of banging your head against the wall and, you know, and working towards something. But really, sometimes you bang your head against that wall enough, you're going to break that wall down. And that's what we had to do.
So I think I made the comparison earlier. There's like one distribution company for all comic book stores in the country. And it was sort of like, okay, I made have a pilot for a TV show, and there's like only one station that'll carry it.
And it is a challenge that way. And really, I think that at the end of the day, your work has to be good enough. And what we've been able to prove by touring around, by meeting people, is that our work is good enough. You know, like when you and I first, you know, started talking about it, I don't think that you would have given us the attention that you did if you didn't believe in the books. You know, it was like, yeah, we had a good talk, we're nice guys, cool, yeah. But then, like, you look at the books and it's like, oh yeah, this is gonna work. It's not like I'm gonna be nice to John and let him come on my podcast because the books are terrible, but he's nice. You know, we've distributed ourselves through shows nearly 10,000 books in the past 2 years. And that's people walking up to our table. We tell them about what we do, and they walk away with books. And that shows us that we've got a market. We just need everybody to believe that. And so, you know, I do want to stress, like, yeah, you can't just keep trying until you make it. Everything you do has to be you getting better and you knowing that you have to work harder to make it work. And then eventually you will succeed not because they eventually give up and just accept you, but because now they see that you've gotten to that point where you are a valuable commodity to them. And that's what art is like.
Asset.
Yeah. That network will pick you up if that show gets laughs or if it makes people tune in. Like, that's the trick. And, you know, there's something you said for perseverance, but not just that. We were also working every day during this process to try to make it work. And so we're really proud.
So tell me what's going on in the comics now, and since the last time you've been on the show, what are the new, you know, new developments?
Well, we're really excited because we actually have, for every series that we've got at least 6 issues either done or in the works right now. So what's cool is once we get that distribution deal, we're already set for the first half of the year, which means we've got time to, you know, to catch up and stay on schedule. The biggest problem comic book companies have as independent publishers is they don't get their books out on time, and we didn't want to fall victim to that. So while we've been waiting, we've been continuing to work. Plus Ultra, we're working on the 7th issue right now. Hero Corps Knights, we're working on the 5th issue. Absent Captains in the 5th issue. And we've also got the biggest hit we had at Amazing Houston. So anybody who's following you, who paid attention to Amazing Houston, that weekend we had this little 5-page preview of this book called Tinker that we thought people might think it was kind of cute. And we had our artist for the book, Rachel, come out from California. And we had all these other badass artists at the show that are working on our other books that we're so proud of. And Rachel has never done a comic book before. We had 5 pages from her, and she was the hit of the show. And we've now got that book complete, and she's working on the 2nd one. And that's like real sneaky hit. Like every shop that I visited on that tour, I'd put all these books out, and that one issue of Tinker is the one they kept picking up. And so everybody's going to be able to pick that up very soon. We're going to try to have copies printed for Amazing Houston on a limited run. We're going to do some variant covers for that show. And then aside from that, it's really, you know, the big thing with us is just continuing production. So we don't, you know, have like a lot of big new stuff going on, but pretty soon everybody's going to get to know us a lot better.
And if you ever need to draw a special guest podcaster in an issue, I think I might know a guy.
Get to get in our Kickstarter, man.
There you go.
We actually, that's another thing I can mention. We did a Kickstarter campaign in April because April is comic book month on Kickstarter. So we were like, well, let's give it a shot. Because we were about to have to print our first run of books, and printing is very expensive. Yeah. So we wanted to try to raise money for the printing costs. So we did a very reasonable goal on the Kickstarter, and we actually hit it in 3 days. And then for the full campaign, we doubled what our goal was. So we're really thankful to everybody. Thank you again to anybody who donated, who's listening right now, or who pledged.
I know we shared information about when it came out.
Yeah, well, we really appreciate everybody who did because it was a huge success for us. And we did a lot of crazy goals on there. Like, we actually allowed people to buy a reward where they got to guest star in a book. So you'll actually see people's faces in there. Those sold out in the first week. We actually had 2 rewards where you could get an entire comic book drawn about you. And we sold both of those in the first 3 days. And that's how we hit our goal with some of these bigger items. And so it was really cool for us. You know, and it's really nice that we as a company always kind of see ourselves as like a company for people. You know, like we connect. We want to be a part of the community. We don't want to dictate the community like the bigger companies do. We want to be the part of it from the inside. And so it was cool for us that all those rewards we made about people getting involved with us are the ones that put us over the top. It was awesome.
Well, I'm going to let you get back to your business here. Like, you got people hanging around the booth, but let everybody know where they can find information about you all over the internet.
You can always go to overgroundcomics.com. We're kind of in a little bit of a media blackout right now, waiting on that deal to go through. Once it goes through, you're going to see us all over the place obnoxiously like crazy. We'll be all over Facebook, Twitter, overground.com. So definitely check out overgroundcomics.com. If you have any questions about us and you're in the Houston area, go into Bedrock City and ask them about us. They know we have the support of the community, but everybody who goes in and talks about us is a big step for the company, so we really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, John. Have a good day.
Thank you, Carrie. Appreciate it, man.
Coming to you live again from the show floor of Space City Con, I am here with legendary author James Caan. How are you doing, sir?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, man. So welcome to Houston.
Thanks.
So how has the experience been for you?
Oh, it's been great. The people here have been so enthusiastic about the con in general and about my books. And it's been really nice. I had a behind-the-scenes at Star Trek panel yesterday that went really well.
Nice. So I know you from growing up, the novelization of Return of the Jedi. So let's talk about how did you first get into, you know, taking a script and creating a book out of that?
Actually, I'm an emergency room doctor first, and I was working in an ER in L.A., and Kathleen Kennedy called up and asked if anyone down there could help her figure out how to resuscitate an alien. So I went down with a few other people from the ER to the set of E.T. We all put on hazmat suits and pounded on E.T.'s chest and ad-libbed all that emergency dialogue in the resuscitation scene. And while I was there, I got to know Spielberg a little bit and gave him a copy of my first science fiction novel, World Enough and Time. I asked if he would make a movie of it, and he said no. But he passed it on to his producer, Frank Marshall, who read some of it and liked it, and so they assigned me the novelization of Poltergeist. That's how I got into the novelization business. So that led to, I did Goonies and Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom and Return of the Jedi.
So how different is it taking a pre-written script and novelizing it compared to like writing something original?
It's much easier and it's a lot of fun. I use the script as basically a kind of plot skeleton outline. And my first draft, just I write very quickly and it follows the specific arc of the script. And then I go back and do two or three other drafts, fleshing it out, giving the characters internal monologues and backstories and motivations and relationships, and it's really an enjoyable experience.
I've always sort of wondered how that worked because they don't go into the characterization as much as you can when you're actually writing a novel.
Right.
So do you have to go through approval processes and all that?
Oh, absolutely. They, you know, I think for the very first one, for Poltergeist, they were a little bit under the gun, and they didn't know me personally at that point, but they liked my novel, so they gave it to me on that basis. Once I did that, they liked working with me, and so they just started assigning me. You know, I got to be their go-to guy for novelizations for a while.
Now, what are you working on now? I know you have original novels that are out.
Yeah, I've got my first original science fiction trilogy has just been re-released. That's World Enough and Time, Time's Dark Laughter, and Timefall. And I just came out with a contemporary reincarnation thriller called Incarnates about 4 or 5 months ago. And right now I'm working on a movie. It's a script I wrote that I'm producing called Wrong Side Bob. And it's based on a CD I did a few years ago called Man Walks Into a Bar, which is basically roots music. It's blues, folk, and country. And each song on the CD is about a different person in the bar on this given night. And so that's what the movie's about, too. It's about this bar full of people. And the specific storyline of the bar movie is a drifter with amnesia who's struggling to remember his past comes into this bar and bumps into an old guy who's trying to forget his past.
So it's a narrative-driven concept album?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't see many of those anymore.
No, it's you don't.
So we got to touch on Star Wars.
Absolutely.
It's coming out soon.
Yeah.
What do you feel about how they're handling the series now?
Oh, I'm very excited about it. I think like a lot of people, a little disappointed in the prequels. I felt they had lost a lot of the energy and enthusiasm and kind of childlike excitement of the first ones. But I really appreciated the way J.J. Abrams rebooted the Star Trek franchise with those movies, and I think he's doing the same thing with Star Wars, so I'm real excited about it.
Did you, the trailer they just put out, which is like some of the behind the scenes and practical effects, and I was like, okay, that I just want the Blu-ray to come out so I can watch the making of it now.
Yeah, and I'm so glad they're going back to a lot more practical effects rather than CG. The prequels looked like video games to me. There was so much CG, and Abrams is really going back to old school.
Well, it's great because there's certain things you have to do with,
of course,
the CG, but practical effects and real creatures and design.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
It's great.
So what's coming up next for you?
Well, like I said, I'm spending this whole year producing my movie Wrong Side Bob, and it's going to take up all my time right now. You know, I'll launch a Kickstarter in October to start to finance it, so everyone listening will throw me some love.
Yeah, we'll definitely link to that when it comes out. So
great.
Where can people find you right now on the internet?
Well, a few places. My website is www.thatjamescahn.com. I'm also on Facebook, James Caan Words and Music. And then there's a Wrong Side Bob Facebook page as well.
All right, we'll make sure to link to all those in the show notes. Well, thank you much for your time.
Thanks so much.
Have a good time here in Houston.
I will. Thanks for talking to me.
I am here with author Jonathan Mayberry. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great.
Great. So let's talk about, first of all, the reason I'm here. You wrote one of my favorite series. I'm a huge Marvel Zombies fan, and you did Marvel Zombies. Tell me how that experience was of writing those characters in that way.
Well, I've always been a zombie fan, too. I fell in love with zombies back when I was 10 years old when I saw Night of the Living Dead for the first time on its world premiere. And the Marvel Zombies series, which was originally created by Robert Kirkman, is one of my favorites. I love the invention of it, the twist of it. So when they were coming up to the third volume of it, a few of us were sitting around talking and coming up with some oddball ideas. It was Fred Van Lent, David Wellington, and Seth Graham Smith and I And alcohol may have been involved. I'm not saying for sure, but it may have been. And we cooked up this idea of, with basically Spider-Man trying to find a cure for the Marvel Zombies plague. So I was tasked with writing the Wolverine issue of that. And it was just so much fun. I love these characters. And because I'm also a martial arts guy, it was fun to write a martial arts tournament in there where I get to kill Shang-Chi and Iron Fist and all the other Marvel's martial arts characters. So that was a real whole lot of fun.
And you also do other, you've done other Marvel properties before in the past too. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I started off doing a Punisher Max story for them, and I had been away from comics for a while, so when they asked me to do a Punisher Max, I wasn't really sure what that was. I thought it was a character called Punisher Max, and it turns out it's a very extreme, you know, pretty much X-rated Punisher, so I had a ball doing that. I went hog wild on that. I did some Wolverine stuff. I was the regular writer on Black Panther for a short period of time, and in fact, here at Space City Comic Con, Ken Lashley, who is my artist, is here, and it's the first time I've actually met him. Usually, the writers don't get to meet their artists, right. And he's one of my favorite artists of all time. So that was a great run. And then I had my own little franchise within Marvel, the Marvel Universe Versus, which is not zombies. It's more of the 28 Days Later Rage virus in the Marvel Universe. And I did a Punisher series, a Wolverine, and an Avengers. But I've done some other bits and pieces. I did the Captain America Hail Hydra, which is one of my favorite books that I've ever worked on, and some other things. And then I've done some stuff for Dark Horse and currently for IDW.
Is there any character that's out there that you're dying to actually write for?
I would love to do either an Adam Warlock story or a Rom Space Knight story. I'm one of those people who love Rom Space Knight.
You're the only other person I know who's ever heard of him, besides James Gunn.
Actually, IDW Comics is in negotiations to pick up the Rom Space Knight comic book license.
Wow.
And if they get it, I'm going to be one of several writers in a knife fight to try to get that book, because there are a bunch of us who love that character.
I've heard rumors that both those characters are rumored to be in the new Guardians movie, so.
There's a possibility that I haven't heard confirmed. I'm trying to get that. But Marvel's gotten really cagey with not spilling the beans on stuff.
That's true. So let's talk about, you said you're a big zombie fan. Let's talk about your zombie books that you have out.
Well, I've come at zombies three different ways over the years. My first zombie book was Patient Zero, which is the first of my Joe Ledger thriller series, which is now in development for television. Patient Zero was my attempt to bring special ops and real hard science into a zombie story. So I worked with molecular biologists and epidemiologists and so on to come up with a plausible zombie plague. And then I put that in the hands of terrorists and then created a special ops team that was opposing them. And the main character in that story, Joe Ledger, I just fell in love with the character as I was writing him, and now I've written seven or eight, actually I just finished the eighth Joe Ledger book. So that was my first zombie series. Then I wanted to do something for teens, and I wrote Rotten Ruin, which is currently a four-book series that's about to expand to five. And that deals with growing up 14 years after the zombie apocalypse. It's not a story about how many zombies you can kill. It's about the value of human life and friendship and strength. And that series has become very popular. It's in development for film right now, and I absolutely love that. But I also wanted to do something. I had met George Romero, and we talked about Night of the Living Dead, which, you know, as I mentioned, I saw when I was 10. And I asked him if he was ever going to do a zombie film that delved into the science end of things. And he said that he doesn't know anything about science and doesn't really care. So he suggested, you know, why don't you do it? So I did. I did Dead of Night, which starts with yet a different take on the science behind zombies. But it also starts with the first bite. And most zombie stories, they may start the first day or the first night, but they don't actually start with the first actual zombie attack. And I started there, and I built Dead of Night, which was very popular. And we did a sequel really based on reader demand. We got so many requests for a sequel. I did a sequel that takes place 1 minute later. And that's the zombie stuff I've done up till now. And it totals about 9 books.
Do you think we're getting to a point in modern culture where the zombie genre is going to get oversaturated?
It will for a while, but it'll come back, just like anything. Vampires get saturated and come back. Ghost stories get saturated and come back. What happens is if a writer comes up with a new take, a new twist, and it's usually not necessarily remodeling the zombie or the vampire, it's coming up with a new story that includes zombies or vampires as an element. We saw that with The Walking Dead. We saw it with the novel World War Z. We saw it with Scott Brown's Breathers. There's so many different ways to come at it from a new direction. And that's what writers do. We come up with new ideas. You know, novels are called novel for a reason. You know, something new, something a new fictional approach. So I think as long as we have writers, writers are going to find new ways to make it fresh.
And what's coming up next for you?
Well, I have Tuesday, I have X-Files, Trust No One, an anthology, the first of several anthologies I'm editing for IDW. They are official X-Files stories. They're all new, but we made arrangement with Chris Carter so these stories are actually official to the X-Files canon. And the first anthology comes out on Tuesday. And then I've got my fifth Rotten Ruin book coming out in September, the same day as a book, a standalone novel based on the Deadlands role-playing game called Ghostwalkers. So it's going to be a busy season for me.
The other thing I wanted to mention before we leave is you do a podcast as well. You're no stranger.
No, I'm a podcast junkie, actually. I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I started one a few months ago called Three Guys with Beards. And surprisingly, it's Three Guys with Beards. It's Christopher Golden, who is a New York Times bestseller, James A. Moore, great science fiction writer, and myself. We do a pop culture podcast. We interview celebrities. We geek out about pop culture issues. We occasionally get mad and talk about controversial stuff, and we have a hell of a lot of fun. And if we have a guest who doesn't have a beard, we actually mail them a beard and ask them to do a selfie.
That's amazing.
And the new episodes usually go up on Wednesday.
That's another podcaster that has a beard, Kevin Smith, says anybody can do a podcast. All you have to do is get a recorder and have something to say.
And the trick is to not be boring. And the other trick is if you have fun, you'll not be boring. You'll have a great time.
That's the most important part is have fun.
It's all about the fun.
Where can people find you on the internet?
I just search my name, Jonathan Mayberry, and the trick is to spell my last name right. It's Mabery. If you search Jonathan Mayberry, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, I've got a website, I'm on Instagram. You can't help but find me, and come along, find me, because we're always having fun doing contests and geeking on pop culture.
Well, thank you for your time, sir. Have a great time in Houston.
Thank you.
And we are back to the show.
Back in black,
that's right. We just listened to a couple of interviews, actually about three interviews from the con floor. I wish I had got a chance to do some more, but it just ran out of time. I talked to Murat Michaels that day, Deadpool artist. I actually have a piece of his Deadpool artwork on my wall, and he told me that day that he doesn't have any more of his artwork from Deadpool anymore. It's gone.
Wow.
He sold it all. He wishes he had some, but he did a lot of really cool Deadpool print still. He did like Deadpool and a bunch of different things, like to Deadpool Winnie
Dead
the Pooh
pig?
Mashup. Was that?
No Dead Pig. Oh.
But I was supposed to go back and interview him, and I ran into him a little bit later and just ran out of time because Saturday was our last day there. And we were actually going to do an interview just about the Deadpool movie coming up, just talk about it. So maybe I'll just get him on the phone on the old Skype and we'll do an episode with him. That'd be fun.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
So the panel that we went to was the Doctor Who panel with the VIP passes we had. It was nice. We didn't have to really wait in line too long for it.
No.
But it was fun. I mean, I'm a fan of Karen Gillan because she's in a Marvel movie. She's Nebula, of course. She didn't really talk too much about it, though. But there's a lot of Doctor Who talk.
Well, I mean, she's with Arthur Darvill, and that's the whole thing at Doctor Who. So, you know, I'm sure they feel pressured more to, you know,
and they were both
talk
dressed,
about Doctor Who.
They're both dressed as hippies.
No, well, I mean, if you've seen other things before, being a Whovian nerd like I, that's kind of where they dress, you know, kind of a, I hate to say hipster, because that's more of a dated term now, but, you know,
yeah,
you see Arthur's
hipster-ish
hat, you know, like skinny jeans, he's more hipsterish. So that's just, that's where, they're young, they're whatever.
But the moderator for the show, I don't know, his name was Devin, I believe. I don't know who this guy was, but he was really good.
He was funny. He did a really good job. I don't know who he was, but
exactly. I think he works for Space City Con, but he does a really good job.
He was entertaining. He kept it flowing, and so that was great.
So if you can actually go on to, they said they were filming it. So if you go on to YouTube and search Space City Comic Con, you can probably find all the panels that they had at the show. Because they wouldn't let us film it. There's other people filming, you know, you can't. They're saying you don't shoot anything with your phone, but there's a guy with a camera right there.
Yeah, I'm sure there was somebody, you know.
I don't
there
know.
Always
so
is.
What was your overall feel about the show?
You know, I had a good time as a spectator. It was fun. There were some things like, you know, the lanes where the artists were or the vendors were very tight.
Yeah, the artist alley aisles were really tight together. They had plenty of room to spread that out because I think they were expecting more. They needed more room for the celebrities, and I don't think they really did in certain sections. But I mean, were there near the area where people were lining up for their photo ops? That was definitely, you needed more room over there because it got really crowded. But the aisles were really nut to butt. And most times, I mean, there was a couple of people there like in wheelchairs and like an ECV and stuff, and they couldn't get through those aisles.
Oh, I know. I feel sorry for them, you know.
Especially when there was an aisle where there's a really popular artist or somebody famous or whatever it was, and everybody was around their booth, and it was hard to get through at that point.
Yeah.
I mean, all the other shows that I've been to recently, you're like, Comicpalooza does it nicely, Amazing Comic Con does it nicely. They give you a lot of empty space to get through the aisles, and I understand they probably didn't have as much room here, but
you also have to realize that can be a bit of a fire hazard. I mean, me being the HR brain, I was like, you know, that's a fire hazard, and this and kind of an, could potentially be an ADA issue if people cannot go by in their, you know, their scooters or their, you know, wheelchairs or whatnot. But, so
with this con, with Space City Con, there's a lot of growing pains, and you know, this is the first time they've ever had a comic book convention here at the NRG Stadium, or the, not the stadium, but
what do they call it? NRG Park.
So it's the, you know, the convention center area of it, where, you know, they do the rodeo stuff in Houston, and it's so sad parking that parking lot, because I used to park there for Astroworld, which was right across the freeway. If you're here in Houston, you know Astroworld. It was, you parked over there, and then you walked across the bridge across the freeway to get to the parks. I miss that. And but it is cool because, like, okay, there's parking. It's not like downtown Houston where it's hard to find parking. You pay like $12 to park, but you can park up right to the front of the
excellent parking.
It was great because, like, Saturday evening, we went out with a bunch of podcasters. We went out with Rob Zip from Broken Frames, as well as the War Pod, Johnny and Zach. So we went over to, where'd we go to?
I believe it was the Flying Saucer.
The Flying Saucer downtown. So it was cool. We just actually hopped on the
light rail.
The light rail. Yeah. I'm calling it a monorail. The tram.
Disney brain. Disney brain. It's all the monorail no matter what.
We just hopped on the light rail, and you pay like $1.25 something per person to get. It's a pretty far distance. And we had some entertainment on the rail.
Public transportation always has interesting things going on.
Very interesting things. So that was a lot of fun. That was our experience at Space City Con. Except the podcasting panel that we did. Well, it really wasn't a panel, but it was more of an impromptu Metal Geeks episode that got cut short.
It was like a hangout that got recorded.
Yeah, basically. So besides myself, I was the only one representing Metal Geeks there, because Dave, we got to say, was at Classic Game Fest in Austin representing and selling his wares, and apparently selling out all of his video game shit, which is great. He sold his Metroid, amazing Metroid painting.
Oh, yes, that is awesome. It's beautiful.
And George had a gig that weekend, so you can't fault him for not coming. Paying him. So besides myself, it was Craig Price from the Reality Check podcast. We had John Miller from Dogfin Radio. Going down the row, we had Cassandra and Sarah from their show called Nerdy Adventures? Yeah, I think so. And then we had Johnny and Zach from Warpod, or whatever they want to call it now. You listen to it. We make fun of them a little bit for not having a good name yet.
Warbeast Podcast?
Warbeast?
No.
And then Johnny also does a show with Rob Zip called the Broken Frames Podcast, which is a video YouTube show on Tuesday nights. Am I missing anybody?
Well, Joe Nathan
from The Zone showed up. It was cool. It was a little impromptu episode. We talked about what we've been, you know, what we're watching, what we're playing. A little bit of metal discussion, because can't be a Metal Geeks episode without some metal discussion.
or attempted metal discussion for some people.
Yeah, so speaking of, it's time for George Hates Metal, but George isn't here. What have you been listening to metal-wise?
Oh, shoot, me?
Yeah, well, you're the only person in the room right now.
Well, yeah, that is true.
Besides the dog.
Well, the other day, she doesn't listen. She listens to what we listen to, so I was listening to a little bit of Orphan Land, or however they pronounce it, Myrath, the Orient, Myrath. Yeah. I got the, we were talking about, I guess, some Israeli metal, and so that the whole Oriental metal thing kind of popped into my ear. So I was listening to a little bit of that recently.
Cool.
Nothing really new to my knowledge. Just listening to a lot of older stuff.
I've really been digging the new Cradle of Filth, which is surprising because, you know, last two or three albums haven't been that great. But I don't know, something reinvigorating, refreshed about this album. There's this, they have this female vocalist that, it's weird to say this for Cradle of Filth, but she harmonizes with Danny Filth.
Yeah.
So it's, I mean, he's still doing his high-end screeching, but she's doing like this, and it works really well.
I'm going to have to listen to that then. You'll have to play that for me because,
What else have I been listening to? The new Paradise Lost still going to my rotation.
Yeah.
We
popped in a little Epic Cloud, you know, seeing, I think Dave was listening to us.
Dave was listening on the way to Austin, so we had to compete with that. You know, I've been listening, I'm really waiting on the new Fear Factory. I'm really digging on the three songs that I've heard. At work, I'll listen to Spotify a lot, and I found this playlist that has, it's like brand new metal. And it changes every couple of weeks, every week or so, and they keep on adding new songs to it and stuff like that.
That's nice.
So I get to listen to a lot of new stuff and, you know, see what's coming out. And that's what I've been hearing the Fear Factory a lot. The new Symphony X.
Oh, I haven't listened to that yet.
But here's what I got to say about it. There's like the third track. It's one of the best songs I've heard this entire year so far.
Really?
And it's more of a lighter style song. And I'm going to have to play that on an episode of MSRcast in the future. But I know something weird about the album. About 75% into the album, I start to get bored. I'm like, okay, it doesn't change enough from song to song to keep me really interested towards the end of the album.
I hate when that happens. That drives me crazy.
Yeah, it really does.
It takes you away. I don't know. I was just thinking another band I started listening to is I popped on Anathema. Then it's funny how, like, especially on Spotify, you're like, huh, I want to listen to this, I want to listen to that. So I started listening to Anathema. Related artists, exactly. And then that got me onto Poison Black. I haven't listened to Poison Black in it for a long time.
Now, isn't Poison Black the same singer from Sentenced?
Is it Ville?
Yeah.
Or
he was in there or something? I don't remember.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, that got me into listening to Poison Black. And so it's just one of those trip down memory lane.
So speaking of Paradise Lost, they announced that they were going to be playing the Maryland Death Fest next year.
Ooh.
That's a pretty cool lineup.
That's interesting.
November's Doom is playing as well. A bunch of underground great bands. So.
We may have to check it out.
Yeah.
MSRcast or a Metal Geeks episode live from the show.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be ideal.
I don't know. So let's, do you want to give the little secret out to everybody? Guess where we're going.
Disneyland?
We're going to Disneyland. Yeah, that's true. It's true. We are. It was a very spur of the moment thing.
Yeah, definitely. You can see that again.
Because just two nights ago, I got an email saying, "Oh, hey, Frontier Airlines has a sale going to Vegas." I'm like, "Oh, wow!" So we got a really good deal, and I bit the bullet. So we're going to Vegas, and we're gonna drive to Disneyland during the holidays. Which I've never done.
I'm going to go see a show. Wouldn't mind seeing Penn and Teller. Big fan of Penn, especially.
So it'll be fun. It'll be a cool vacation, you know. Neither of us ever been to Disneyland or Disney World during the holiday times.
So that should be pretty.
We've been on Haunted Mansion Holiday, but that was like 13 years ago.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, it's been about that. Yeah, true.
And that was like closer in October. We went, and so they start Haunted Mansion Holiday during October, and it runs all the way till January. But I was looking into what they do during the holidays. I know there's It's a Small World holiday overlay. The Cards Land looks pretty awesome. With their setup. I'm excited for it. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
There might be even a hard ticketed event called, like, I know Disney World has it, but it, like Mickey's Merry Christmas something. I don't know what it's called. But you pay extra and the park stays open later and they have special...
Mickey's Happy Holidays, PC
something like that.
Land.
Disney's happy to take your money, extra money.
Disney's always happy to take your money.
It's true, they are. But yeah, I think it's going to be fun. We might even try to hit up Universal Studios there too.
Yeah.
Because you haven't been there in like 13 years.
No, and I wouldn't mind going. I think it's the Florida park though, because they're doing, you know how they do like the Halloween Horror Nights?
Yep.
They're doing one for Crimson Peak.
That's probably going to be both.
That would be awesome.
But we're not going until December, so we're definitely going to miss all the Halloween stuff.
All the Haunted Mansion fanciness with Guillermo del Toro. Yeah.
Yeah. That movie comes out in October, right?
Yeah, October. I'm definitely going to go see it. It's a, what they say, a gothic romance.
Yep.
With Tom Hiddleston and directed by Guillermo del Toro. It's the brilliant mind of Guillermo del Toro.
Isn't Guillermo so hard to
Guillermo.
Say?
Guillermo del Toro.
Guillermo.
I'm like, sold.
I know. I just hope it really lights his fire to do the Haunted Mansion movie.
Oh, come on. I mean, you just look at the trailer and that's just the bloody Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
Totally. Totally.
I know, he's a big fan, so.
He likes to say the F word a lot, too.
I'm okay with that. Fuck that. Fuck it.
Well, it's because if you listen to the Nerdist episode when they were at Comic-Con, they had a little thing, and then they had Guillermo and Tom Hiddleston both together.
Cool.
Talking about it. Yeah.
Talking about the movie.
Talking about the movie and stuff, yeah.
All right, well, before let's go ahead and play. We're going to play the, it's about 39 minutes-ish, the podcasting roundtable jamboree from Space City Con. But before we do that, we have to let everybody know where they can find us and about our sponsor. So first of all, we have a new place to find us on the interwebs. We have Podbros, which, yeah. It's pretty cool. Podbros.com, B-R-O-S. We're one of the cool new podcasts featured there, which I'm excited for. So check them out. Also go to lightningradio.com. Check them. I think we're played on Saturday evenings. You can also check out altness.com, as well as, where else are we located at? I'm asking you now.
We are metalgeeks.net.
Well, of course we're at metalgeeks.net.
We are on the iTunes, the Stitcher.
We're on the iTunes and the Stitchers. If you go to the iTunes, please leave a 5-star review. Leave a review about the show. Let people know that you listen to it, that you think we're cool and exciting and geeky and all that good stuff.
Definitely geeky.
You can also find us on the ESO network, Earth Station 1, really cool guys, as well as our local nerd casting collective, which is... It's the Houston Nerdcasting Collective, bunch of different shows. Some of the shows that are out on this very here episode, like Sarah and Cassandra's Nerdy Adventures, and Warpod's on there, a bunch of really cool shows. So check that out. That's at houstonnerd.org, because we are an organization. And what else do we have to talk about? Let's talk about the sponsor. This is something that I'm really excited about. If you go to tweetaudio.com, what would you want to get if you went to tweetaudio.com? I'm putting you in the spot now.
I'd like to have some type of apparatus that gives me really good audio.
Something that you would put actually in your ears?
Yeah, that would be good. I think so.
And you could play music through it and listen to it, or you could listen to podcasts like the Metal Geeks podcast.
Or audiobooks.
Or audiobook. Yeah, what is that?
That's the ones without thought bubbles.
Oh. There's no pictures in audiobooks, is there?
No.
Okay. Well, if you want to save some money, if you want to save 20% and get free shipping as well as a lifetime, that's going to last longer than you're even alive, a lifetime guarantee.
Five lifetimes even.
Five lifetimes.
Like lifetime says, five lifetimes.
Lifetime guarantee on your headphones, your earbuds. Go to tweetaudio.com, and when you check out, put in the code MetalGeeks. That'll give you all that cool stuff. Discount, give you free shipping, and it will give you the lifetime warranty. And it helps our show out, too, because every time you buy something from Tweaked Audio, we get a little bit back. Not much, but we'll get a little bit back, and we could go on adventures, and we could buy new equipment to make the show even better. That's what we're going to do. We're going to put it all back into the show.
All for you.
Speaking of adventures... Check out AdventuresInGeekery.com with my co-host, Justin, from the Comical Podcast. We just put a new episode out this past week where we adventure and talk about the trailers and Star Wars, mostly Star Wars, from San Diego Comic-Con a few weeks ago. So check that out at AdventuresInGeekery.com.
Yes.
It's brought to you, of course, by Newsfix CW39 here in Houston. And I think that's going to put a fork in it, man, as you yawn at the end.
No, I'd rather put a spork in it, because sporks are cooler than forks.
I'd rather put a spoon in it, because then we can have the Tick, who was a special guest on this very here episode,
Spoon
go
man.
Spoon! spoon.
Yeah, he doesn't like forks. He just likes spoons.
Yeah. So let's get into the end of the show here. Let's get into that podcasting collective thing with special guest, The Tick. Enjoy it.
Social media.
And while you're having an adventure in our geekery, swing by our other social media sites. You can go to facebook.com, look up Metal Geeks, like is there. You can go to twitter.com, Metal Geeks there as well. And Instagram, again, thank you to Bill for doing a great job with our Instagram account, at Metal Geeks, mm-hmm. at Metal Geeks on all your social medias. And where can they find you?
They can find me. Where can they find me? Instagram.
You're on Instagram and Twitter.
Instagram and Twitter. The River Dragon 169.
No, just River Dragon 169. No, at the.
Oh.
Right.
True. Whatever. My username.
At River Dragon 169.
Sure. My username, CB radio call, whatever you want to call it, is River Dragon 169.
Don't call her on her CB radio because that goes off way too late at night when I'm trying to sleep.
Breaker 169.
Oh, see what you did there. Yes?
Yeah, he wants me to.
Okay. All right, not so yet. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome, my friends, to another episode of the Metal Geeks Podcast. I am your host. I am Carrie G, Carrie the Metal Geek, along with my other. Oh, wait a minute. My two co-hosts are not here. George is on an assignment, and Dave's at the Classic Game Fest in Austin, Texas. So to replace two people on my show, I had to bring 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 people in. Hey, everybody clap.
Hey! Yay.
We're all wearing the, 0.35 person?
Yep. Yeah. Okay, don't do math.
This is starting to sound.
So we're going to go around the table. We are here at Space City Comic Con in Houston, Texas. So let's go around the table and introduce everybody and your show and what you do.
My name is Craig Price. I have Reality Check with Craig Price at realitycheckpodcast.com. Each week, I talk about a completely new topic and new expertise, and for anywhere from orangutan rescue to David Anders at Comicpalooza last year to FBI agents to whatever tickles my fancy. It's a fun way to do life, and I get to experience a lot of great things because of it.
That's great.
I'm John Miller. I got Dogfin Radio, which can be found on YouTube and Facebook. Well, soon to be YouTube. But Facebook and Twitter under Dogfin. We talk about video game, classic video games, movies, and comics.
And Dolphins with dogs, faces.
Yes, Dogfin.
Moving on.
I'm Sarah from Sarah and Cassie's Nerdy Adventure. I make inappropriate jokes about Star Trek characters.
And I'm the Cassie from Sarah and Cassie's Nerdy Adventure. We pretty much just talk about whatever we want to, usually revolving around some nerdy topic or whatever we feel like.
We're prepared to speak in unison, so just go ahead and start.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, go.
I am Johnny, this is Zach, and we're from the War Pod, and we talk about...
I'm tripping balls. What the hell's going on?
I need Valium now.
Like I was saying, I'm Johnny, and we're from the War Pod, me and Zach are, and I'll let him introduce himself, but we... You can find us at Warlocks Brew at Twitter and on Instagram. We talk about nerd stuff, movies, comic books.
Pop culture.
Things, stuff.
And board games.
Board games. Yeah. Actually, that's a big thing with us. Yeah.
And Rob Zip's doing selfies.
No. I was taking pictures of other ones.
External selfies.
Everyone. Yeah, external selfies.
Rob Zip is finally doing a non-selfie.
Hey. I'm Rob Zip. I do a YouTube show called Broken Frames with Johnny.
Yeah, and, I do that too.
My friend Jose and our friend Linda. And we do that on the YouTube. Hopefully soon we'll be on some other places.
But, working on it.
Yeah, we're on Twitter and Facebook and...
Telegraph.
Yes. Messenger Pigeon.
Morse code soon?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coming to Morse code?
Yeah. We drink beer and talk about pop culture shit. So, yeah.
Cool. So let's talk about your experiences so far at Space City. What has everybody been doing? Have you met any celebrities?
Yeah, we've met a few.
Yeah. Got some good interviews in before the crowds kind of hit early this morning, which was pretty nice.
Yeah, we got into quite a few interviews, actually.
Mm-hmm. We were actually really fortunate last night because we met Nalini Krishan. And she's such a big sweetheart that she invited us to the restaurant at her hotel, and they did an exclusive hour-long interview, and she invited one of her friends Christian Simpson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Both of them were in Star Wars. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That was a really cool experience.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Rob was in on that too, actually.
Mm-hmm. I brought in some Zip Spice.
Zip Spice, yeah.
That's what I'm doing here. I'm doing my own thing. I'm putting my Zip Spice in some other people's things.
I wish that everybody had.
That's legal in Texas, but go ahead.
Now it is.
I feel violated.
That's the point.
I would like dinner at least first.
Sure, buddy.
All right.
I like dinner after.
I like during dinner.
I will take any of you guys out to pizza.
That's true. Yeah. You probably would.
Yeah.
That's from you. That sounds like a challenge. I'll take any of you guys out to pizza.
Well, depends. What kind of pizza?
What is pizza a code word for?
He was offended by my pizza last time because apparently it had too many vegetables on it.
Did I really say that?
You did. You're like, there's so many. No, we're not.
I'm not sure what vegetables
this
in your
is
pizza
literally.
Hey, Rob's very selective about his meats on his pizza.
Tomatoes, spinach, a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah, that's weird.
How do you feel about stuffed crust?
We just had a special guest walk into the room. It's Joe Nason from The Zone, who's nice enough to put all this together for us.
Thanks, dude. Like,
yeah.
Thank you for
being
awesome.
Squat down real quick.
You don't have to.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
People, quickly turn off.
Can we have a special segment called Squat Down?
Let me get a chair.
So what we're going to do is we have some topics that we just talked about. Oh, wait a minute. Look, the tick just walked into the room. Come here, tick.
Well, hello there. This is the tick.
So I have a question. I've always wanted to ask this. Where has Arthur been? Where has he been?
He's absconded himself somewhere. I've been able to find the little guy.
So have you been having a good time here at Space City Comic Con?
The Tick has enjoyed himself here at Space City Comic Con.
Any fight any crime or anything?
Unfortunately, no. It's been relatively low crime rate here at the con.
Well, lots of people consider that to be a positive.
Not the Tick, because the Tick's here to stamp out all forms of the crimes.
Just go two blocks in any direction, you'll be able to find something, I'm sure.
Not even that, just leave the parking lot.
We're go secure down. Inside the gates, but once you're gone.
Maybe not.
Well, there's a Cracker Jack people working the gates, though.
I've had time to evaluate their performance.
Well, they let me in at 5:30 this morning. They even gasped me, like, "Oh, yeah, just go on in. You're a guy in a truck."
So, what's next for the Tick? What's on your plans?
Oh, the Tick is going to be serving up a nice heaping bowl of justice soup to all the criminals who stand in my way.
Awesome, that's everybody! Thank you for the Tick for showing up.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thanks for having me. I'm the Tick, and I'm out.
All right, so one of our guys, his name is Bill, and he unfortunately couldn't make it tonight, as well as my other guys. But he was nice enough to come up with some brand new geeky topics for us. So we're going to just talk about it, and
we're going to talk about it for 3 hours.
Talk about it for about 3 hours. One of the first things we do on the show is we talk about what we've been playing, what we've been watching, you know, what's been on our radar recently, and we can go around the table with that. So have you been playing any games, any new movies you've been watching?
I've been Far Crying 4 since last week. So
oh, yeah?
So I haven't been able to watch anything because I've been, you know, blowing up rhinoceroses and riding elephants. And just randomly shooting small people that come out of the bushes. So
as you do.
Yeah, because I haven't even started the, you know, you're 15 hours in, and I still haven't even started the main quest because I'm just trying to collect as much dead animal skins as I can. So when I do go fight, I'm ready to go.
Oh, that's how it works.
That's all I'm doing. So I don't even know what's going on in the world. I know BoJack Horseman's out, and I haven't had a chance to see that yet.
Mm-hmm. Aren't those type of games so bad for people that have OCD? You have to collect everything.
That's why I do it, because it calms me down. Because I got to find every little diamond. I got to find every little thing. And then when you get all that done, you got to make sure you get all your achievements.
Yep.
So that's why the Lego games are like crack.
Oh, me too.
Yeah, I love them. I know, you're supposed to be at a certain age. Well, they're for kids.
No.
And it's like,
no.
I can't, because I got a mainline Lego. I am
playing Lego Jurassic World, and I'm also playing Lego Batman 3 right now. And when Lego Dimensions comes out, and it's like a never-ending Lego game, I'm just done. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, I'm done with this one. Now I can go buy another.
Yeah.
Take my money now.
Yes, that's and then my wife gets upset because she doesn't see me for very much. And then she's very happy because she doesn't see me for very much. So it's a
I make my wife watch me play them, too. The one thing about the Lego games is they really like to replay the same songs over and over and over.
My wife only likes me when I watch Mass Effect, when I play Mass Effect, because she it all depends on whose ass is running. She likes Shepard a lot, so she'll watch Mass Effect because he's, you know. Yeah.
Wait a minute, male or female Shepard? Because you can...
I heard that female, but I really only sit there
and
watch the male.
Male, okay.
What about you, Joe?
I haven't been playing anything. The only thing new that I've kind of been watching is the new season of Strain. It's pretty much about it.
I haven't finished season one yet, too.
Oh, you got to finish season one, man. It's an interesting show.
I need more time. That's what it is. I need to stop podcasting.
That's the only thing I'm watching, because there's a bunch of shows that I'm rewatching that I've already seen, and I'm just kind of going back and I've been really watching Smallville just all over again.
That's where Ant-Man's from, right?
Huh?
That's where Ant-Man is from?
Yes, that's where Ant-Man's from. And realizing just how horrible that show got after season 5, just kind of, you know, just, well, it did.
Let's be honest, it did.
Yeah, it was a little bit bad before that. So I'm just rewatching a whole bunch of old stuff, and the only thing new that's on my DVR is The Strain.
Cool. And I apologize for any extraneous noise, because there were people talking in the hallway, but...
Shut up, people.
It makes a party atmosphere, right?
Is the door, I mean, is it okay to close the door?
You can close it if you want.
Or do we need that for...
No more locked doors!
Well, that's how you know that we were at the con.
Now we have a doorman. The tank is watching the door. So what about you, John? What have you been into?
Not much, really. Just playing. I got a Retron 5, so I've been playing all my old games on that.
My co-host Dave just bought one last week. He's like, okay, you have to get one. But I have, we actually pulled out my collection. I have bins of old, like, Super Nintendo and Genesis. Yeah. And he's like, you could actually just pop the game in and then save anytime you want. And I was like, all right, I might have to purchase one of these damn things.
Oh, yeah, there's also a couple little cheats you can put on there. You can download every single cheat for every single game that was made.
And it's all HDMI, right?
Yeah, straight HDMI, 1080p, and then it goes with that. You can also play imports.
Oh.
Ooh.
Yeah, wow, so instead of buying the US version of Chrono Trigger for $100, I found the import one for $25 and just loaded the patch into it.
That's awesome.
Hmm.
How much did you pay for it? It was like $150, right?
Yeah, about $150. I got it from picked up Game Over.
Okay,
I think isn't that what Dave said he got his?
Yeah, it was something. It might have been Game Over. Yeah,
yeah.
I might have to get one of those things.
There's a good review on YouTube about it. And it shows about improved graphics, or even smooth out the graphics. And there's a bunch of different modes.
I heard it's like built-in anti-aliasing and all that kind of stuff.
Yep.
Oh, well, all right.
You want to get the actual Nintendo type controller?
Yeah,
you don't want to use the one that comes with it.
That's what I heard. Because I'm the type of guy, I bought the, what is that little box that we bought to play the old retro games?
Ooh, yeah.
The Ooh,
yeah.
Just to have all the games, but I mean, just to be able to put the cartridge in, and that sounds like a lot
better.
That's
going to load it to RAM, so you're playing it from RAM now, really playing from the
card. Right. So, what about you girls? What are you been into?
Well, next month we are going to Delta HCon, which is an anime convention. And I was really heavily into anime about 10, 15 years ago at the turn of the century, which makes me really feel really old. So I have been watching Knights of Sidonia just randomly to try to kind of get myself back into what anime is doing right now.
Is that a new song?
It should be.
It is.
This anime actually has the catchiest theme song I've ever heard. It's like bouncy and it gets into your head and it will not leave. And I'm sitting at work for like 8 hours going, Knights of Sidonia. It's really annoying, but it's a good series. So,
what about games? You play way more games than I do.
I did get really into Star Trek Online a little bit ago, and City Skylines. That was addictive.
Well, she mentioned Delta HCon. I'm still kind of into anime, especially a few months ago. I started watching Attack on Titan and Naruto. I hate to admit that.
A long time ago, I used to work in an anime store in First Colony, and I've never liked anime. But I used to know how to mod like Super Nintendos and stuff like that. That's why they hired me. And everybody was so jealous that I worked in an anime store. Okay.
How we met was through an anime club in college, actually.
Oh, really?
So I was president of it for a while.
That is pretty geeky.
All the other members were scared of us.
Unfortunately, because of work and the podcast, I can't play games very much. I downloaded a few, but I haven't really got a chance to play like the new mech game, really want to get into.
MechWarrior.
Yeah, MechWarrior. I used to be into mechs way back in the day when it was, like, brand new. Hoping to eventually be able to get some time to start playing that. Think what else? Any TV shows? I started watching Between today, which is a Netflix original.
I haven't heard of that.
That's just everybody dies in a town except for anyone that's 22 or younger, and where they try to survive. But I'm only like, I just started episode 2 because I started.
It's like a Logan's Run.
That was just yeah. I was just thinking that.
That's kind of tools in their hand, and there's a Peter York in there.
Unfortunately, not. But yeah, it is just a redo of that idea.
Cool. What about you, John?
It's not very nerdy, but I actually just watched all of Broadchurch, which is a Scottish police drama,
no,
which is
nerdy. No, it's nerdy.
It is, okay, well, hey, it's nerdy. But that's the most recent thing I finished on my own. Right now, I'm not playing a lot of games because I'm going to school and working all that crap. So, and doing two shows. I got a lot of stuff on my list, and what I do watch now is usually what my wife's watching. I just catch it, you know, while she's watching it, and she's watched a little BoJack Horseman and a little.
Okay, I've heard that name recently. What is that?
It's a animated.
It's a Netflix original, BoJack. And it's a horse that was in a big sitcom back in the 80s, and he is a has been, and it's about his life in the present.
And his voice, who's in it?
It's
Will Arnett.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's voiced
okay,
by.
Okay, I'm done. I want to see it.
Paul F. Tompkins is in it, so I'll watch anything that he's in.
Yeah.
There's that, and then she's been also getting caught up on Voyager, actually. So I'm watching that too.
Star Trek.
Yep.
No, we don't talk about Star Trek here.
Not this con.
Voyager reunion is gone.
I just went down there and met all of them, actually. All
right. Lately, really over the past couple of days, I've pretty much gotten through all of the most recent death battles from Screw Attack.
Okay. I met Stuttering Craig in January. He was a really nice, tall guy.
Really nice what?
Tall.
Oh, tall guy.
Yeah.
Did that influence your opinion of him? The height?
A little bit. He was a little domineering.
Would you say that improved how you feel about him?
I would say it did improve it.
Hmm.
Why?
Huh?
Why do you ask
because
it like
because
that?
I'm very short, and so I'm wondering if I should like heighten myself.
Stretch yourself maybe
all around you.
Yeah.
Get on the rack.
Maybe, well, we can get you some platform shoes with like as long as I have like goldfish in them.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm good.
As far as what I've been playing, I most recently finished Shovel Knight.
I love Shovel Knight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And no, I'm a little late to the dance on that one.
I actually Pack South, where Stud and Craig was, the same room, this artist had Shovel Knight artwork, and I bought a print from him. It was pretty awesome.
Nice. What was it, or who was it?
I don't remember the guy's name.
No, I mean the depiction. Was it just all of the knights together?
No. It was just the main character.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, it was really cool.
Also, Final Fantasy 14.
One of those types.
14 teams.
Yeah. Huh?
Final Fantasy.
I started playing it because my friends are playing it, and I never get to see them anymore.
Move on to Mr. Zip.
Rob Zip has no video game spice.
No?
No.
Come on, we got to get you some.
Got to get video game
spice. Saw some Ant-Man recently, though.
Yeah. I saw Ant-Man, of course.
I'm just trying to help you.
No. We're talking about, what?
Yeah.
Video games.
Well, I didn't either. I didn't touch on video games at all.
We're talking about what you're into right now.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm just into, I'm into pizza.
That's clear.
Pizza for people.
You punch that shit, don't you?
I've bought way more pizza for people lately than I should have.
And what are we doing after this?
Pizza.
Sure.
Pizza before and after.
It's... I actually have two free pizzas waiting for me at Little Caesars by my house.
That's not real pizza.
I wouldn't say that to
you. It's free.
Rob, we need
cheese covered cartons.
We need to find a pizza sponsor for the show.
We should.
Yeah.
You probably could get
one. Yeah.
Possibly. I need to just open my own pizza place.
There you go.
Like a pizza pub.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be awesome.
Pizza pub.
Because I like beer, craft beer a lot. And
that's like a brilliant idea.
Pizza beer?
You know, they now have pizza on bagels. Has that affected when you're allowed to eat pizza?
Bagel
possibly
bites?
In the morning? The evening?
Listen, always
supper time?
There's no restriction on when you can
get pizza's a 24-hour food product. You can eat that in the morning, you can eat that at night.
Okay. And it's the perfect food. You got your bread, you got your vegetables, you got your dairy, you've got
vegetables.
Your meat.
Vegetables. Why would you put
tomato?
Vegetables?
The tomato sauce. Ketchup is an actual vegetable now, according to
our government.
Public schools?
Yeah. So... So yeah, man, there's sauce. There's all kinds of oregano and rosemary. All right.
Pretty sure garlic is a root vegetable.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. You exactly.
The dough's garlic from grain. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So welcome back to the pizza podcast hour.
Pizza is great. I can talk about pizza for 3 hours.
Let's not try.
Fill this thing. Robzip.tumblr.com. That's where I put all my pizza.
No, we're
stuff.
Not. No, I didn't ask for that.
So. If you ask for
all of a sudden, he's the Bubba Blue of pizza.
Right. So before we move on to some topics, me personally, like I said, both of the new Lego games, been playing a lot of Batman Arkham Knight, trying to get through that. It's a lot of fun.
Sure.
I've been watching Star Wars Rebels. Okay. I finally, because we have DirecTV, and I finally figured out that if I log into my account on my iPad, I can watch anything on DirecTV during my lunch break, and that's been amazing.
It's excellent.
It is really cool.
It's so good.
And especially, you can actually...
coming up in September, I think.
They put like season 2, episode 1 or 2.
Yeah,
right?
Season 2 started already.
So I'm on like episode 11 of season 1, so I'm pretty close.
Mm. I don't know much about the show, but I know that there's continuity issues with the new movie coming out and what's canon and what's not. Is that jiving with the current cinematic canon?
I explained this to you last night, Zach.
What time?
How many times do I have to tell you? In continuity,
uh-huh.
You've got the prequel trilogy.
Prequel trilogy.
But in between episodes 2 and 3, you have the Clone Wars cartoon.
But J.J. Right. Abrams said the prequel trilogy is not canon.
No, this is from Disney. Disney official.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so
they supersede
you've
J.J.
Got episode 1, episode 2, the Clone Wars cartoon, episode 3,
yeah.
Star Wars Rebels, episodes... 4, 5, and 6, and then episode
7, 8, and 9.
But then you've got Marvel.
7, 8, 9.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it's natural.
Yeah. But then you have the comic books are in canon also now, and they're in. They go all over the place.
So they just left out the books.
And then plus, there's going to be
only the new books are canonized.
Right,
the old ones are
those are
wiped
all
off.
Gone. All okay. Extended
so
universe stuff.
No more Chewbacca being killed by a moon.
They can
no.
use anything uh-huh. from
not as long as the toys are selling.
Right,
so it's their decision whether or not they're going to.
Okay,
but also, and then there are the. Like the
Ewok
Star
adventures
Wars,
are also not
that's
canon.
Gone.
Yeah.
We actually talked about that last
can.
Night.
Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't count.
We couldn't remember the name of them either. There's two of them, and we were like, "What the name of the?" And it's an Ewok adventure. It's yeah. So
yeah. So yeah, I'm glad I get to explain that twice
Christmas
in one
special.
Weekend.
Oh dear God.
So I don't just like pizza. I like Star Wars as well.
Nothing wrong with that.
It's a good combo.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That had some echo on it.
Why did you slap Cassie? Why would you do that? Thank you for slapping Cassie.
In fact, she initiated this class.
Yeah.
Now we become
an FBI protection so they don't cuff you and take you away.
Now we become an episode of Archer.
The show is Metal Geeks Podcast, and we do like to talk about metal, so I want to go around the table. We don't have that much time, unfortunately.
Right.
Is to find out what some, if guys are into metal at all, what mm-hmm. some of your favorite
yeah.
bands are.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
let's
gosh.
Go around with Craig.
I am not a metal person at all.
Get away.
I'm sorry.
Next.
Yeah, that question. Not I don't have anything.
Alternative music.
You have long hair, dude. You get...
Yeah, there's no excuse over
what's
there.
Your favorite
metal
band?
Batman.
It's really hard to say.
Yanni.
Well, sometimes I do get down on this. Well, you know what he plays.
I've actually met Yanni one time. I was working, it was a weird story. I was working at EB Games in West Oak Mall. He came in as a customer. And I was like, can I help you find anything? And he's like, oh. I was like, I'm looking at some computer games for my tour bus. And I'm like, are you? And he's like, don't tell anybody. And some lady freaked out when she found out Yanni was in there.
Oh, I thought she was going to think he was Michael Bolton.
Right?
I wouldn't know what he looked like.
You super
nice guy, but.
Okay. Think of like. The coolest pirate.
Okay.
So, do you like any more friends?
She does. I do.
Excuse me.
And the battle ensues.
I can talk for myself.
Okay. Round one.
What
right?
You said.
I do not know the name of this band, but there was a brief period when I was absolutely violently obsessed with a Norwegian Viking death metal
yes.
band.
Yes.
That was like full of violins, and
what's
it was the best. I don't remember
tier?
The name.
Tier?
Might be. So, but it was the best
like
thing
the
ever.
The best Viking metal band yep. ever.
It might. It's probably that then. but yeah.
Did you say violence or violins?
Violins.
Oh.
Oh, I thought you said violence.
That sounds pretty metal.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Violent, violins. Yeah. Let's do it.
Well, I grew up on a lot of more classic hard rock. Ozzy Osbourne was like, my mom would tell me he was my dad for the longest time.
He's a good role model.
He is. I love him. Yeah.
That would explain your crazy.
You love me, though. So what does it say about you? God, I like a lot of that type of stuff. Rammstein, Nine Inch Nails. I don't know what kind of metal, because there's a wide range.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But
it's a wide net.
It is. But I've always really liked that kind of music.
What about you, Johnny?
I'm actually, my favorite band is Mudvayne, actually. I grew up in, I had that era.
Yeah, we're like, not going that wide.
But no, I was like Mushroomhead, stuff like that. I was always into that. But I also got into some black metal, Dimmu Borgir, and all that kind of good stuff. I like the Norwegian stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I actually got into Slipknot later, which is weird, because they were actually really popular at the time. But that's me.
Yeah. Poison. I've been listening to a lot of Poison. Hair metal is still metal.
All right, dude. I grew up on hair metal. So
yes.
I saw Skid Row. I saw all those bands in their heyday, too.
Yeah, I love it. Snake. I do. I love it.
I just
it.
Gave away my age.
Yeah. I love the attitude. I love the melody. It's always crisp and clear and fun. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I want some more of it. I've tried so hard.
Steel Panther.
Huh?
Check out Steel Panther.
Yeah.
Steel Panther?
Panther. Don't make fun of my voice for your
health. I thought he was like accusing him. Like, I know, right? Cancer.
They are a modern hair metal band that very, very fucking dirty.
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yes.
Yeah.
They have a song, they have a whole song about glory holes. So.
Nice.
You know, who doesn't nowadays?
Most modern bands. Yeah. What about you, Rob?
Yeah, dude.
Elaborate.
Wait, get behind glory holes or?
Yeah.
Look on me.
Be in front of a glory hole. I don't know.
There's nothing wrong with that either. I mean, somebody has to do it. No, but speaking of metal, now I do enjoy some Swedish death metal, dude. I love Entombed. It's one of my favorite bands of all time.
They have that sound. Man.
Yeah.
The Swedish death metal sound.
Yeah. Just the whole Cookie Monster thing, I love. I don't care. Like, it's the fucking... Like, if the Cookie Monster could be on vocals with Animal on drums, that would be the core of my favorite band of all time. And I'm not... Like, it sounds funny.
No, that's intense.
My
head. That's fucking intense.
I'm not even joking about that.
We do that. We call it Muppet-ocalypse.
Sure. Whatever.
I love it.
I would love it.
That would be amazing.
I would go to the concert, man. I would...
Buy the t-shirt. Sleep with the roadies.
My all-time favorite band isn't a metal band. It's Faith No More.
Me too.
Yeah.
They did
they're
metal stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm so excited that Napalm Death is opening up for them.
Isn't that weird?
It's really not that weird because I saw Melt Banana opening up for Mr. Bungle. I mean, Mike Patton's a weird dude.
Mike Patton is very strange, but he's a musical genius.
They could have anybody open up for him. It doesn't matter. But yeah, Faith No More is my all-time favorite band. But if we're talking metal, like straight up metal, I love. That Swedish.
Do you like melodic death metal type
no,
of stuff?
No. Merciful Fate, I can't stand.
No?
I like the theatrics of it. It's funny to me, but you're not supposed to laugh at it.
You can.
Well,
you can.
But the sound, like, for a long time, I didn't even like Iron Maiden, but I went. I know. I said for a long time I didn't, but. I started listening to him. I liked the driving bass of Steve Harris.
Yeah.
And so I got over the vocals. I went to go see him. I got front row tickets in Chicago.
Nice.
And it was the most amazing thing I ever saw.
You know, we have a segment on the show because Dave and myself are huge metalheads, and
George
not
hates
so much.
Metal. Yeah.
So we have a segment called George Hates Metal. Each week we make him listen to a metal album and get his opinion on it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, unfortunately, this week he's not here. The funny thing you mentioned that we gave him King Diamond this week.
Oh, nice.
I bought. I was listening to one of your podcasts, and I was like, man. Fucking metal album. So I went to Cactus and they had a new Entombed AD album.
Yes.
It's like, Entombed. And then George was talking about Stephen Wilson.
Yes.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to buy that album. I didn't like it as much.
Stephen Wilson is not metal, so.
No, it wasn't. It's prog.
Yes.
But it was good. It was still good. But, you know, come on, keep bringing those recommendations, man.
Bloodbath.
Bloodbath, yes.
If you like Swedish death metal, Bloodbath. Okay.
Yes. Blood.
It's guys, yeah. It's actually a member of the bands that are not as heavy as, like, their song. So, like, Catatonia and...
Kind of like Brujeria.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. The werewolves.
You want to give him a time?
All I've got.
Are you choking, Rob? You okay?
Unfortunately, we do not have a lot of time, so we're going to have to keep this short. But let's go around the table one last time and just say what you're looking forward to or why you're happy that you're here with me. I want to hear that.
I'm just happy to be here with you, anyways. Oh, thank you. I get to meet you in Comicpalooza.
That's right.
And get along somewhat. And
somewhat,
except for the metal.
That's okay. But, we can get you into that. It can change.
The only thing I'm looking forward to now that this is over is I'm just looking forward to watching Tom Cruise dangle up an airplane in Mission Impossible.
Apparently, he did that. That was real.
I'm hoping he slips off, but I don't know if that's going to happen. But I will put down my money to see if he'll fall off.
I want to see that. I want to see that blooper. Where he does fall.
I want to see him go clear.
Like a little bit of animosity or like hatred there.
It's a little bit of both. I think he's the most professional and the guy 100%. No matter what he does, he ain't giving it half ass. He's doing it. And so I think he's great. It's mm-hmm. just that, you know, every once in a while you want to see some of his weirdness get
shot for you, right?
just I can go with that.
His face will come apart in the wind.
Flapping right here.
Batman versus Superman. Main thing I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, we mentioned that recently because I'm not really on board with that movie. I didn't like the last Man of Steel movie. It was boring to me, but this trailer is making me excited for what it could possibly be. And we talked about that in the last episode. Is it the movie's going to be really good, or is it just a really well-cut trailer?
It's just a really well-cut trailer at this point, because I mean, we haven't really seen anything. The whole trailer's Easter eggs.
Yeah.
You know, if you're a fan of that, you know, those comics, just about every frame is some kind of Easter egg reference to...
There's a Joker reference in there with Robin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Two in one. You got Death in the Family right there.
And then he stole heavily... Well, not stole, I don't want to say, but he's using heavily from Dark Knight Returns. And you see, I mean, there's almost like shot for shot, frame for frame stuff that he has in that movie, so... I can't wait for it. Homage is the word I was looking for, not steal.
Homage.
Someone should tell Shia LaBeouf about that word. Steal it, it's no homage.
Just do it! Yeah.
I was about to say, I dream, love the version with Shia LaBeouf in it. That's the version of the movie that I want to see.
Mm-hmm. I'll take it.
Oh, yeah.
I don't really know what I'm really looking forward to, other than found this thing on Kickstarter. They're trying to bring back SWAT cats.
I saw that recently.
Oh, Jesus.
I saw the logo pop up on my Facebook feed. I'm like, what is going on?
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing that. Of course, I just aged myself there too.
That's all right. What about you guys?
I am really jazzed right now, especially after having heard Karen Gillian talk about it in a session today, the second Guardians of the Galaxy movie. Yeah. I think that out of all of the comic book based movies that they've done, they did the most justice to that, and I can't wait to see, especially hearing that Chris Pratt cried when he read the script. That says a lot to me, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, we were there with that. It was Karen Gillan and
Arthur
Darvill's panel. That's here. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was amazing.
They were really good.
I'm really looking forward to the new Gambit movie coming out 2016.
Are you a Tatum fan?
I'm more a Gambit fan.
Okay.
He's all right.
Tatum's not horrible.
No, he's not.
He would be his rogue.
Well, I think
who would be his room?
I wouldn't mind being. I always like. Anyways, also Star Wars, because I've like completely blacked myself out, and so much is like coming. I mean, like, I can't go see a movie without risking even seeing the trailer, because I'm not seeing anything until the day I go. So I just wanted to hurry up and get here before I accidentally like find out anything.
Yeah, it's one movie I'm trying to actively avoid any spoilers for, and it's been hard.
Yes,
because it's like showing up. You're like, I'm not clicking that. I'm not doing it.
Well, I went to go see Ant-Man, and the trailer was there, and I probably freaked everybody else out because I just closed my eyes. I started saying no.
You're having a fit in the movie theater.
Yeah,
I had to bring on a date.
Well, my date, he already knew, so he.
No, I'm talking about everybody else.
Oh yeah.
Is that your Twitter photo? Your Tinder photo? Just you with your hands in your ears?
Maybe.
So you know what to expect.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to just the next couple years of just all the superhero movies that are coming out. I'm a big Batman fan, so I am actually looking... I keep telling people I'm really nervous and really excited at the same time about Batman versus Superman, because I don't know how it's going to turn out. I'm nervous.
You know what's exciting me more than that? It's they announced that, you know, Ben Affleck and Jeff Johns are writing it, and Affleck's going to direct a standalone Batman movie. That's exciting.
Yes.
Because Ben Affleck's a great director.
He is.
Not a great actor, but a great director.
Yeah, I think his acting, it's up and down. It depends on what movie. He does good stuff. But
he can direct himself pretty good.
Yeah, absolutely. but also, we spoke to Cass. I don't remember his last name, but he voiced... Yeah, he voiced
Altair
in the Assassin's Creed games. We talked to him, and he's going to be in a show on Sci-Fi called The Expanse, and it looks really good. People are calling it Game of Thrones in space, and so it looks really good. I'm really curious.
People are also calling it the Pokemon of our generation.
Yeah,
wasn't Pokemon the Pokemon of our generation?
The Bill Nye of our generation.
Yeah,
and actually, the Samurai Pizza Cats of our generation.
Yeah. But anyway, that's what I'm looking forward to.
It's Game of Thrones in space. I'm not going to invest any time on it because they're going to kill everybody I like.
Probably.
There's lots of space in space.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But it does look really good. At least the way he sold the movie the show very well. So we're sold. We want to see it. What are you into, Zach? Or what are you looking forward to?
Christmas.
Yeah.
July. Just Christmas in July.
Oh. Yeah. That's right.
That was Amazon Prime Day.
We were at a bar yesterday. They were giving away Santa hats yesterday at the bar we were at.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was. It was Christmas in July at the Plank Saucer.
They had a rerun of The Simpsons the other day with a Christmas episode. It was like, this is just the weirdest thing to be watching in July. It's so strange.
Yep.
Actually, I'm really looking forward to Lego Dimensions.
Yes.
The fact that we're going to get...
Taking all your money?
Mm-hmm. Huh?
Taking all your money?
And getting all the doctors in return.
Yeah?
Yes. Although, one thing I heard about is that there's only going to be one voice actor across all doctors.
Really?
Yes.
What? Is it going to be Morgan Freeman?
Yes.
Crossing my fingers for that one.
Time and relative dimensions in space, Batman.
It's time and wobbly wobbly. All on say.
I'm down for that game.
Yeah.
You?
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
It's your turn, Rob.
Oh, it's my turn.
What are you looking forward to?
Well, without a doubt, Star Wars Episode 7, The Force Awakens.
Awaken.
Now here's the thing.
Bringing it back.
You don't want to see the trailer.
Are you about to ruin anything?
No, I'm not.
La 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 la.
Oh, Jesus.
See how annoying that is?
Yeah, we're almost no, I'm not. I saw the trailer. I heard on a Star Wars podcast, they talked about what the possible plot is. They ran through the whole thing. And it doesn't matter. I'm going to see it. Because when you put the moving pictures with the sound of the and the John Williams score, it's
magic.
You're just full of sound effects today.
That is what I'm really, really, really looking forward to. But the next thing that I do want to see is Fantastic Four. I know. Listen, I saw. I'll see.
It's a whole new cast.
I'll see.
Oh, must be good.
Josh Trank did a great job with Chronicle. I really enjoyed that film. I thought it was good. So these characters, I'm going to give them a chance.
For me personally, I'm looking forward to playing Rock Band 4.
Sure.
Yes.
I actually worked on Rock Band for about a year and a half, doing QA. So I haven't really played a lot recently, but. Getting back into that and actually pulling my fake drum set out. It's going to be a lot of fun. But we're running out of time, so really quick, I want to go around where everybody can find you on the internet. Mm-hmm. So let's start back this way this time.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I already talked about my Tumblr. That's public. You can follow Pizza Punisher on Twitter and at Broken Frame Show for our show that we do on YouTube. Typically live on Tuesday nights at 6:45 p.m. Typically.
Don't hold them to it, though.
Yeah, we tweet out the times.
Sometimes 6:47,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, yeah. We get crazy sometimes.
Me personally, as my half of Warlocks, you can find me at Zach Nanimous on Twitter, and at Warlocks Brew, and that's the joint Twitter for Warlocks.
Wait, we have two Warlocks. It's Warlocks...
Yes.
Yeah,
there's a second one that you tried to pawn off on.
I did. I wanted you to take over because you didn't do enough of it.
That's all confusing.
Yeah, it is. Warlocks ES, Warlocks Brew, Zach Animus.
Warlocks Brew is the important one.
Yeah.
And then you can tell a comic about it on Facebook.
Yeah, we do have Facebook. It's going to be Facebook, Warlocks Games and Beer. You can find it there. We're trying to transition actually to a new name, which is Warlocks Entertainment System. Mm-hmm. So you can actually find us at warlocksentertainment.com. Sorry.
The Facebook already is Warlocks Entertainment System.
Right, but the address is still Warlocks Games and Beer.
Okay.
We're gonna muddle this up even more.
I'm glad you've worked it out now.
Yeah. But I guess in addition to all that, I mean, we haven't mentioned yet, most of us are part of the Houston Nerdcasting Collective.
Yes, sir.
And you can find us at Houston Nerdcast on Twitter, and then, yeah.
HoustonNerd.org?
Yep, yes. That's the website.
Well, we have nerdyadventure.com. Everything's pretty easy to find if you go to Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, Snapchat. It's all Nerdy Adventure.
Yeah, if you guys want help on not having confusing social media, we can probably help.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
We're having a very messy transition. I apologize.
Find us on Facebook and Twitter's Dogfin Radio or dogfin.wordpress.com.
Cool. Easy enough.
Yep.
realitycheckpodcast.com. And you can follow me on Instagram, CraigPrice47.
If you ever, if you really want to learn deep into different topics, listen to the Reality Check podcast, because you will learn. You'll get your learnings on.
Well, thank you very much.
So thank you for everybody for coming in and joining this impromptu episode of None of These Podcast. And I've been your host, and my other host will not be here, so they can't say anything. So, thanks to everybody.
They're phantoms.
Thank you for having
us.
Thank you.
Hey, Geekazoids. Thanks for listening to another fine podcast brought to you by MSR Productions. All rights reserved, blah, 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 blah. For reviews, archives of our podcasts, and all your other metal geekery needs, please visit metalgeeks.net. Keep it geeky. Keep it metal.